Welcome to the penultimate episode of
Damn
the Dog
it, you
House.
Stole what I wanted to say. Yeah.
You
he got to
go
before
first.
I did as well.
You snooze, you lose. And for those of you who don't know what that is, you should not be listening to this show anyways.
If you don't know what shame penultimate on you. Is after 17 years of this?
Exactly, after 17 years.
I have no use for you.
No Here, use.
Never no listen use. To the Doghouse again. I'll just say.
Yeah, that's right. Never again.
Never again.
Never again.
Wow. Yeah.
And then the following week is the final episode of the Doghouse, where we will have dancing girls in the studio.
Absolutely. So a listener messaged me like Thursday with a brilliant idea, but I won't do it. Right? I mean, it is genius, but here's the thing. It goes against everything we say, stand morally and ethically. He wanted me to submit the text.
I didn't even know we had any ethics, Phil. I thought we, in fact, I thought that was part of it.
Let me help you out.
Yeah.
He wanted the last episode of the Doghouse to be submitting all the writings in the Book of No Accountability to AI to have it read in Donald Trump's voice.
That is actually brilliant.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah.
Yes. I was like, except for some. I opened up the book and I was like,
I don't think you could do that in 30 minutes, though.
Yeah, I would go long. Well, there's not that much in here. I'm fucking. It's only like.
Now, remember, I actually only made that book about a year and a half ago. So
yeah,
I haven't been keeping track. There were no records prior to that.
The Book and of No Accountability. Started in 2023 as an actual book. Before that, we would just enter stuff in.
That's
Somebody
true.
Would have to go through our entire listening catalog to see all the stupid stuff we've said over the years.
Yeah, and that's like way more work than we're willing to do.
Yeah.
You know. Maybe with our new YouTube channel, the new show and everything like that, one day we'll have a reunion episode where we will go back and talk about some of our most memorable moments from the Doghouse, many of which we've all forgotten. That's how memorable
that's
they were.
The problem. It's funny. I was actually telling somebody that, you know, we're going to end the Doghouse. And they were like, really? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, thought you liked doing it. I was like, it's kind of time for something new.
It is time for something.
It's,
now.
It's time.
It's the, kinda, there's like nowhere else to go with it.
There's nowhere else to go with it. Obviously, we're never going to make the AMA Hall of Fame.
No. We actually know. We know the key to getting into the AMA Hall of Fame is to stand close to somebody who's actually in the Hall of Fame.
Right? So here's when what I'm going to say is if the listeners petition them to put us in, as the greatest motorcycle podcast on the face of in the universe.
I mean, 17 years, no one's going to ever touch that.
But here's what I'm going to say. We will do a show at our induction. We'll do a live
show. There you go. Yeah.
There you go. You
I'm all about it.
Back, we'll do a live show there.
Count me in.
You know it's going to be postmortem. We're all going to be dead before they vote us in, right?
Well, I mean, you could keep, I mean, they could put our ashes on the table, right? It'd be a very quiet episode, but it would probably be one of our best.
Definitely be better.
Maybe one of us will survive and we'll just sit there and make fun of the ashes, you know?
That would actually work well.
You remember that? Yeah. Remember that Married with Children episode where they cooked burgers on Marcy's aunt's dead ashes?
I don't remember that.
Oh, my
no.
God. That's what one of us has to do.
I don't remember anything about Married with Children other than Christine Applegate.
There was
that's
so
all
many
I can remember.
Funny storylines in that.
There was. I watched it. I watched it all the time. She was, you know, very, very, what can you say?
Very pretty.
That was the last time Christine Applegate ever got anybody's attention. Was that show? Yeah.
Yeah. She got attention.
She definitely got attention. Yeah, absolutely.
But anyways.
Poor Bud.
I think he dated her for a little while, real life.
Did he really?
I want to say I read that somewhere. That okay. They dated for a little while.
Then I don't say poor Bud anymore.
I mean, he was about 6 inches shorter than her. Who you cares? Know that. Yeah.
Yeah, it wouldn't bother me at all.
You know,
what wouldn't bother you? That well, having you a guy a that was there. 6 inches shorter than you, Warren.
His boyfriend's 6 inches shorter
than what? What?
I resent that remark.
Anyways, wow. Yeah, so for our listeners, I don't know. I was thinking of some of the great guests over the last week we had on here. You know, Ricky Carmichael, Tomac. But then I was thinking, like, I can't remember. Sid something. With
Berberman. Berberman.
Sid Berberman. Favorite guest of Phil all time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like in the list of people that we had on our show that didn't last long after they were on the show. Really? It's like
I didn't know.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that actually didn't make it another year after they were on the Doghouse.
We haven't. We're terrible.
Well, we have a curse. We do have
a curse. It's a pretty broad based curse. I mean, if you get caught in the whirlwind, you can end up anywhere. Not all good.
Yeah. We're like not all good. Plague. Matter of fact, they'll probably put us in for stopping the show.
I mean, you think about it, got it. I mean, there were a number of them. A pretty famous AMA racer, remember, was on the show, and he passed away a couple weeks after he was on the show. Yeah.
Nikki Hayden.
Yeah, Nikki Hayden. Dave well, I'm Westby. Not even talking about Nikki Hayden. Yeah Westby. I'm talking about Westby. Yeah, because Westby was only like in the next month that he. That
yeah,
he
I think passed so. Away.
Yeah. Man, but yeah, Nikki Hayden. I mean, there's a pretty good list. I mean, if we had any kind of decent notes, 17 years, you would see just how deep the doghouse curse goes.
I feel like at one time we took notes.
I'm maybe,
not since I've been here.
Maybe Phil. Maybe you took notes. I don't think I ever took.
Well,
notes.
I think we took notes for writing up the show stuff.
Maybe.
I remember. Oh my god! So this is way before Warren's time. When we were first starting out, I remember I would be on like DCSportBike.net and like Yamaha forums and all these things, and I would have conversations with myself, right? Like. I would go on there and I'd post something and I'd be like, anybody listen to this show, The Doghouse? This idiot said this. Then I'd come back and under a different username and I'd be like, I listened to this show. I think it was that bad, but this. And I would just, and people would start listening to the show because I would go there and have a full split personality conversation.
I mean, we did a lot of stuff like that initially to try and drive recognition of the show in the early days. And I think at that point we were much more energetic about doing it, right? The show was pretty new.
That was like the Wild West.
Hard to make. It was definitely the Wild West market. And we actually thought we were like on the bleeding edge at that point, if you remember, right? Yeah. And it did. And I think at the time that we started the podcast, there wasn't anything else out there. There was something that showed up in the next year or two, but there wasn't any.
Side Stand Up was.
Yeah, it was after us. They were after us.
Pretty close to the same time because I was listening to them as
well. I remember, you
might have been, but it wasn't far. The time difference wasn't far, but they weren't there because actually they brought us up on one of their first episodes.
They talked about us a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
And so. I remember sitting there and at the time I was like, oh my God. Like everybody listens to them, like this is good for us. And then I found out like they were doing a year what we were doing like a week. Listeners. And I was like, mate, I remember talking to guys at an AMA event and they were like, yeah, we have 6,000 listeners. And at the time, I think we had like 12 or 18,000 a week.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, 6,000 a week. All right. The guy's like, no, total. And they've been like a year, and I was like,
"Yeah,
what?"
I mean, the show was so different. People listen to the show now. If you have not listened to us all, and if you've listened for 17 years,
God bless you.
I feel for you.
I was going to say, if you've been listening for 17 years and you've never paid a penny for the show, you owe us a shit ton of money. Okay.
I just mean you're a demented, twisted person.
And cheap.
And so cheap.
Because I can name the people that supported us on Patreon. I literally can name the people. I know who the ones that were supported us on Patreon. But the show was very, very different. And if you can locate, I don't think any of them are online anymore, but if you can locate some of the earlier shows, you wouldn't even recognize the show.
Yeah, it was a lot more lifestyle.
Very newsy. It was very newsy back then. It was mostly talking about, you know, what's new motorcycles that were coming out. It was strictly like that. It was very little racing in the early days. Very little racing.
Yeah.
And it just sort of transformed. I'm sorry?
We only talked like the big races.
Yeah, but not even much.
And that wasn't a lot.
Not even much. It was not primarily a racing show. It was more mentions of racing, but it was primarily a motorcycle news show, you know, in the early days.
Remember when we did that joint show with another podcast. Well, it was a radio show at the time. We had Ben Spies on, right? Mm-hmm. And then Yamaha Corporate shared our podcast on their website. Like, we were Yamaha.com.
Yeah, that was Ben Spies. Like,
this is crazy.
Yeah. Because, we were different. There was really anything else that you could go to like that, and we were able to pull big names at that time.
Yeah,
you know,
probably we put effort into it the last couple of years.
Say with some effort, I was going to say
it was all had
problems.
I mean, if you think about the kind of like the evolution of the doghouse, right? It was newsy and touched on racing. We could pull big names in the industry, a lot of authors. We had a lot of authors that wrote books. We had some of their books. And really, it was very, very broad in the motorcycling industry, people we could pick. We had the guy that was the head of the AMA. Do you remember Rob Dingman? The show?
Yeah.
Well, not Dingman. I was thinking of the guy that he used to be a congressman, and then he went to become a head of the government. Wayne Aldridge or something like
Wayne
that?
Wayne Aldridge, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we had a very, very broad pull that we could get people from a bunch of stuff. We actually had to kind of transition to pulling. We had to do some work to get some of the racers and stuff on it because at first it was like, who the hell are you guys?
Totally different.
Who the hell are you? That was at a time when Speed TV was a big deal, right?
Back then. I remember, back in the ancient days.
Yeah.
Well, So I worked with a couple shows in the early stages, and Ken, you were on that one. And I actually was the video guy for John Force's first ever online interview, like live stream interview. I was running the camera because the camera guy didn't.
God, this kind of dates me because I do remember that.
Yeah. And I was like, you know, and he's like, so people are just go watch this at their house on the internet. And I'm like, yeah, I'm like, this is the future. And like, everybody looked at me. He was there. David Pearson. And, one of the other NASCAR drivers, one of the brothers, not Rusty Wallace. What was his brother's name? One of the Wallace brothers, I think it was. And they were like, you're crazy and all this stuff. And now it's like you see him and it's like, yeah, I told you so.
Yeah.
But we did like just a lot of different things. And when we start, it was like I kind of worked with that show to learn how to get racing guests because it was like,
yeah,
it was different. You had to go through PR people. Before that, we would just like call people up. We're like, we're the fucking doghouse.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and it was I was going to say probably we were the first national broadcast that Eli Tomac showed up on.
I think so.
I think it was the very first time he was very young 250 rider at the time when we had him. Yeah.
Because it was before he won his 250 championship.
Yeah, before he won. Yeah, well before he won a 250 championship, actually.
We could have been.
Yeah. So I think we were like one of the first ones.
You said national, but we had a, we still probably still do have a pretty significant reach overseas as well.
You do, but you know, I mean,
there's so many more podcasts now.
Yeah.
Well, I think you know, we used to always joke we were like the number one podcast of all podcasts of all types in Ireland.
Yeah.
For a while, the number one podcast. Yeah. I don't get it
for a while.
I don't get the poll, but there it was, right?
Irish people drink
that means one of two things. Well, there were a lot of people that were interested in motorcycle information in Ireland, or nobody cared about anything else that in Ireland. And we were at least entertaining, right?
Remember, we had like 75 listeners in North Korea.
I don't know how that happened.
But yeah,
that's we were true. A cooking show.
That's true. Yeah, we did. We had, you know, there's only one place that we never had a big pull from, and that was China.
Yeah.
And I think it's just because we were blocked out.
The Great Firewall.
Yeah, the Great Firewall. Yeah, so we didn't have that there, but we had.
We were probably contributing to the delinquency of communists.
We were big in South America. We were big in some parts of Europe. Yeah, we were big in Australia.
Remember when the like VP of Hell's Angels like called me at the studio?
Not really. I do remember we did it. We used to do a lot of Hell's Angels stuff.
It was like when Australia was having that thing with all the bikey rules and they were cracking down on all the charity rides.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm sitting in the studio one day before the show, like I was like getting stuff ready and everything. The phone rings, right? I pick it up with this guy with an Australian accent. And I'm like, hey man, how's it going? And he's like, I'm so and so. He gave me his name. I don't remember now. And I'm like, huh? And at first I thought it was like Mike O'Mara with his accent.
Yeah, Mike O'Mara likes to play little jokes.
I'm like, yeah, no, I don't believe this at all, right? And then the guy's like saying stuff, and I'm like, oh, wait a second.
I think he gave all that up after his transition. So,
but I was like, oh, okay. I was like,
do you remember
his number? And he's like, I have connections.
We had a period of time where we were doing a lot of authors that would submit us books and people would reach out to us, you know, want us to review it. And,
a couple of them were 1% books. 1%
that's what I was going to say. That's what I was going to bring up. Yeah. We had a couple 1%ers that wrote books, which it kind of reminded me of, but we had a number of people that did, you know, big production, you know, intercontinental rides. Do you remember that we had on the show?
Yeah. I can't think of those guys' names. Remember Evel Knievel's daughter sent us people?
The
stunt riders?
Until I started shitting on her brother.
but you know, whatever.
Which is what you do.
Which is kind of what my MO is. That is true.
Yeah.
So, Robbie Knievel. Robbie Knievel, may you rest in peace. I was not easy on him.
No,
I was not easy on him.
Not saying he didn't deserve it.
Not saying he didn't.
We had some fun people on here.
We had a lot of people on here. Yeah, one of the guests that we had on here actually came our way because of Evel Knievel's daughter.
I thought it was two. Didn't we talk to two of them, Derek?
I don't remember.
They were stunt race. They were stunt jumpers. We talked to both of them because they were doing a stunt together, and we talked to both. We had them both on the phone.
Yeah. Robbie Knievel did.
It wasn't Skype. You
remember when Robbie Knievel, late in his career, started like replicating his father's jumps? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
It wasn't pretty, right? Because you know it's hard to jump a motorcycle when you're riding somebody's coattails. But anyway, God may he rest in peace.
Ken, I hope you never know where his grave is. I can just see you going pooping on it. You're a terrible person.
I wouldn't do that, allegedly. But anyway, it's if somebody had the foresight, which obviously we don't have, to keep track of everything that we did over the years, you could get a book out of what we did over those 17 years easily.
You could just get a book out of the way we evolved the show. Like, and I don't mean like the content of it. I meant like I remember our first when WJFK was like, motorcycle racing and motorcycles aren't a sport and a man's hobby. Boom. Right.
Right.
And it was like, oh, right. And Ken calls me up and he's like, I'm thinking of doing this stuff online. And I'm like, yeah, I'm in. Right.
Yeah.
And I remember our first show when we checked the stats, like a month later, had 24 downloads. 24.
Yeah.
And I know one was me and one was Ken.
At least
wife, whatever you were on.
Yeah, right. Wife you seven. Know?
And a couple were like I think I could name the 24 people who downloaded the first episode.
I think that's probably true. That's probably true. But we were ahead of our time. So that was the other thing too. It was getting people to podcast. You know, really at that time, there were a few places where you could find podcasts, like Podbean.
Yeah.
I don't remember. And then what really made it blow up was iTunes starting to
the access on iTunes.
Yeah. Yeah. So because that was really everything took iTunes. Off. Everything took off. With
we did.
iTunes.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We were on like Podbean and we were on like all.
Yeah. We were on
things.
Podbean and we were on, I'm trying to remember the one that Google set up.
Pre-Google.
It was Google. It was actually Google, but it was, I don't remember, but it was they kept it for a while, and it was one we really liked, and then they just said, "This ain't worth it. It's not going anywhere."
Yeah, it was
And we even had our, for those of that haven't been, you know, listening for all that long, we actually had a YouTube era before, and the problem was we never worked that really hard.
We did it for a short while.
I don't think that we didn't care. I think it was just that by that time. We were kind of over all the work we had been putting in, right?
And yeah, we first started the YouTube side of it, we tried to be the, you know, like a TV newscast, you know, professional, green screen, all that stuff.
No,
and
I mean
that was just not us. That's not us.
That was you, Warren. The rest, I think Phil and me knew we couldn't be professional.
Yeah, but you were trying to do that, Ken, because I remember you were like, you got to wear a button up shirt and. I think the thing was it lost our
character. And we had to sit in a particular way.
And because at the time, all the big podcasts were doing that.
Well, right? we spent a lot of time talking about how we were going to all be in a set together, right? Yeah. When we were in the studio, because we had been used to sitting around a table. We had a studio table in our studio, obviously. And we sat around that table, but it was a lot of post-production work. YouTube was a lot of post-production work then, right? It didn't have all the tools. There wasn't a YouTube studio there were effectively no tools. In fact, I was doing all the pre and post video work I was doing on another tool altogether. I think it was like one of Adobe's tools or something.
Yeah, I think you were using
Lightroom or something. I don't remember. It was a lot of work and it just was exhausting. And so subsequently, when we didn't pick up a lot of viewers at that time, it was like, this isn't worth all this. It's not worth the work. No.
I think now we can just stream out of Zoom and there you go.
You got an episode.
Oh, remember we were using OBS systems and we had to buy a new computer because it was, we needed more threading than we could get.
You know, we did all our work with the worst computers you can imagine. They were all like hand-me-downs from my motorcycle shop.
Computer in my basement.
Do you really?
I do. Remember, Ken, for an extra memory here, do you remember what the password was?
Of course not.
Benny Hill.
Oh, it was Benny Hill? And you remember that?
I actually signed into it. I plugged it in like a month ago.
Really?
I was like, oh my god, I wonder if this thing still works. I hooked the screen up to it, and I plugged it in, and I was like, I'm sitting there, and I'm typing a couple passwords, and it was like English comedy legend. I'm like, oh, it's Benny Hill.
Well, was there anything notable on that machine that we left behind?
Some of the old video. The one thing that I saw is like when you had your custom shop, there was like pictures of some of the bikes and stuff. I gotta put them on a thumb drive for you.
Yeah, I have a bunch. I have a bunch of pictures and stuff like that because I took so many pictures when I was rebuilding the USO bike to sell it.
Yeah. Then all the sound bites.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, we had so many sound bites.
Yeah.
Back
so,
in the day. I don't know.
Well, there you go. So here we are, penultimate episode. Now, Warren, you said you had some.
Oh yeah, I watched Moto America this weekend, and
Mid-Ohio?
For the most part, there wasn't anything special. I mean, you know, the racing is pretty good. You know, they've had 5 different winners already this season, and you know they're just now halfway through.
Can
but
you, is super, you're talking Superbike?
Superbikes, yeah, Superbikes.
Okay, and Superbike, can you name the winners?
Schultz, Fong, I think Jacobs, not Jacobs,
Binder.
Yeah, Binder won one. So, you know, shooting from the hip, that's what it was. But there was in the
right.
race.
So what is what sticks out to you about that? The only American in that list was Fong.
Well, and JD's won two.
Okay.
JD Beach has won two.
Okay. So we have two foreigners and two Americans.
Yep.
No, I thought Sean Dillon Kelly won one over this weekend.
He won the second race this weekend. That's where you get the 5 out of the series of 5 different winners. But the in race one, Bradley Smith, no, Benjamin Smith came out around turn one, and his bike decided to pretend it was in a rodeo and threw him off the bike, and the bike just kept going straight, and it crossed the track, and all the racers had to slow down because, you know, the bike had cut the track and was in front of him again. So he went from first place to crashing into a wall, but he wasn't on the bike any longer.
And they red flagged it,
it, of course.
Yeah, right.
And he didn't return because his bike was just, I mean, it hit nose first into the wall. So they red flagged that, and a few minutes later they had to red flag it again for another wreck. And that first race took forever to finish, and then by the time they got to the last red flag, I think there was 3 of them, they just called the race because they went more than a third. And that's when Sean Dillon Kelly, I think he won that race. But and in the King of Baggers, nothing special there either. I mean, you know, it's Indian and Harley, and Kyle Wyman wrecked his bike pretty bad and was never competitive. So Indian won both races at this past weekend.
Yeah.
But there is one thing. I sent you guys a note on a new series that's going to start. There's two races for it. The World Moto Clash. Have you heard about that?
Mm-mm.
Is that thing with like the teams?
Yes.
Yeah,
$1 million purse. $500,000 to the winner. And then it breaks down for second, third, all the way to, I think, 15th place to get some serious money out of that. Colin Edwards is like the spokesman for this thing, and he's one of the team owners.
Wait, they opened Colin's coffin and let him out for this? Nice.
I guess so. Yeah. But nice, you know, is basically,
hey, don't pick on him. He was
he's Texas Tornado, man.
Do you remember when I interviewed him?
Do you remember when I interviewed him?
Was Barber with him? Was that VIR or Barber?
No, it was Barber.
Barber?
Yeah. And then interviewed him, and then we watched the entire race with him. And I remember I had on my tablet wherever MotoGP was racing that week, and he kept like looking over on the tablet, and he's like telling us about both tracks at the same time. I was like,
that's probably something he will never forget.
Me either.
And probably not, right?
All right.
I can't believe it's been that long already. Music's playing.
Reminiscing makes time go fast.
Kills time. Next week, last episode, unless you guys start a riot and get us into the AMA Hall of Fame, we'll do one more episode.
That's it.
And like there. And listen, for the couple people who reached out and thought we were joking, because all the time we're like, we're never coming back. This is legit.
And start looking for the History of the Doghouse DVD to come out at any time.
Well, let's just do Betamax. Let's go.
Yeah, let's go Betamax.
Yeah. Betamax anyway. For life.
We'll be back for the final time next week.
Yep.
Final time. All right. morning, guys. Hey.
Goodbye, everybody.
You think just once I pay attention to the clock and know how it went to bring it out? But no, we're almost done. Too bad, people. I'm going to have to run out one hour.